got you is the urban sports scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the urban sports scene. I'm Wally, waiting on my co-host Will T and Ray. But yeah, we're gonna have a full house, a stacked unit here tonight. I'm sorry, we've been gone for a minute though, Mike, for a while. Like 2 weeks, I want to say. A lot of things have been popping. You know, been busy. We're on vacation. We're trying to, we're trying to chill for a little bit. But it's always a pleasure doing the urban sports scene with you all. It's a big, we have a big, I want to say smorgasbord because I don't like that saying. We have a lot to talk about in the world of sports, man. Nova won the national championship last night, dominating the field in March Madness. I don't know about you all, but I love March Madness. And I kind of feel guilty for not being here the last couple of weeks because there was so much to talk about within the tournament. A lot of people kind of tried to make the tournament seem as if it was like it would be a boring year in terms of college basketball. I thought the tournament was great. You saw the upsets with UNBC. You saw Nova dominating. You saw you got to see some of the big time freshmen that we did want to see get out of the tournament pretty early. But yeah, Nova, big ups to Nova. They have a program that, to me, and we'll talk about it later, that down the road that can project to be a blue blood program under Jay Wright. To me, Jay Wright is one of the best coaches in college basketball. And I arguably, if you're looking at track record of late, Jay Wright may be the best coach in college basketball. And a lot of people would argue that, but he's actually been on top of his game in terms of what he's done in the world of coaching, especially for Nova. You think about Nova, where it started from before he came to the program. It was cool. After Kerry Kittles and company left, it was a cool program. But when Jay Wright got there, you saw the road of dominance. They dominated the Big East in terms of consistent play. And me being a Hoya fan, it pisses me off because you see this program that's kind of like the powerhouse of the Big East. For years, it used to be Georgetown, Syracuse, Seton Hall. But now, to me, under the Jay Wright era, Nova has pretty much dominated the Big East. And we've seen within the last, in the last three years, he's gotten two national championships. Last year was an upset, but this season, he came back with a vengeance and they dominated the tournament. But first, Will T, we usually say, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. Navarro Bowman as an option for the Washington Redskins. I had I got word. A good source told me that the Redskins and Navarro Bowman are chatting. They're talking. Again, people just talking. I don't want people to come out here and say, like, all right, Wally, man, who's your source? Claim your source. One, I'm not going to give you my source. I think that's ridiculous for me to give you my source. But just know that my source is legit. Authentically legit. At the 8:20 mark, the national championship game with Nova defeating Michigan 79-62. We'll talk about that. At 8:30, the return of Washington Wizards point guard John Wall. At 8:40, we'll discuss the start of the Washington national season. The Nationals are 4-0. This team looks like they have the opportunity or the chance to do something they haven't done yet under the Washington Nationals, the regime, not the Washington Expos, as the Washington Nationals. This team has an opportunity to get past the first round of the playoffs and maybe get to the World Series. And finally, at the 8:50 mark, we'll talk about heavyweight champ Anthony Joshua defeating Joseph Parker on Saturday. But first, the Washington Redskins the Washington Redskins have been chatting, according to my source, have been chatting with Navarro Bowman, who's a free agent. If you all don't know, Navarro Bowman played for the 49ers, inside linebacker, played at the highest level alongside Patrick Willis. Eventually, had a bad leg injury. Took him a couple years to get back, but still a quality inside linebacker. Went to the San Francisco. Got released by the 49ers last season and went to the Oakland Raiders. Again, a guy that shows leadership, a guy who plays with his all, good tackler, shorthanded tackler, can still move sideline to sideline. May not be as good as he used to be, but he's a guy that still has the ability to be a top flight inside linebacker playing alongside. To me, if he comes to DC playing alongside Zach Brown. Now, it's funny. I posted it on Twitter about my source. And Facebook too, about my source saying that, okay, yeah, Bowman has been in conversations with the Washington Redskins, and people came out with fake news and this, that, and the other. Understand this, people. I am from Prince George's County. Navarro Bowman's from Prince George's County. So anybody I talk to within this camp, they're around the area. So I would believe you when I tell you that my source is legit. You know, just believe me. I wouldn't put it out there if it was one of those BS statements or whatnot. Again, and I didn't come out and say that he's going to sign with the Washington Redskins. Hear that first, because that would be stupid. I didn't say he's going to sign with the Washington Redskins. What I said, from what I heard, and again, my source is very, very credible, is that they're working on something. They're talking. That doesn't mean that Navarro Bowman is going to sign with the Washington Redskins. It doesn't mean that they're in contract talks at the moment. They're talking. They're talking about it right now. That says that, all right, that in my mind is telling you that they're talking. There's no need to say that this team is definitely going to sign a Navarro Bowman. It's not a given. All right, so anybody who tweets me on Facebook saying, all right, this is fake news, again, they're just talking. Nothing more, nothing less. So don't come out me about my source and say, who's your source? I'm not telling you my source.
What? I'm going to stay away from this conversation.
Okay.
Okay. I'll tell you off mic, but I'm staying away from this conversation.
Okay.
Navarro Bowman, huh? Is my mic on? Why is it always
it's
this?
It's on.
Okay. Okay.
Dude, you always think like something's wrong with you, man. Is a mic on? Mic check. It's on.
How significant would Navarro Bowman signing be? That's my question.
Compared to who?
What we have, I guess, or what the Redskins have. I guess that's why I didn't mean to say we. That was an accident.
Freudian slip.
It was. But because when you text me, you said that's better than Mason Foster. But
yeah, it's better than Mason Foster.
Based on what I've heard about him and how he has to prepare hours before the game just to get his body ready,
yeah,
I think it's a risk. But if you don't pay him that much, it's probably
you're not
one of those low risk, high reward type of deals. But it reminds me kind of the Larry Johnson.
But you're not paying him one. You're not paying him that much. That's one. You're not paying him that much. And then if you look at it, we're talking about Mason Foster. So a lot of people have really amped up Mason Foster. The one argument is that Mason Foster is younger. You know who they're the same age. And Mason Foster's coming off an injury season too, as well. So why is that even a comparison? We're talking about Bowman, who has a track record, who has a resume of being one of the top flight inside linebackers in football. Compared
three-time
to
three-time All-Pro.
There you go. Compared to a Mason Foster.
Sideline to sideline, I'm taking Bowman. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even to me. It's not even an argument. If you're gonna come, the argument is that Mason, because I've heard that like Mason Foster is younger than Bowman. They're both 29. So in the grand scheme of things, what does he bring to the table?
Yeah, good discussion.
You're all right, man?
Yeah, I was taking a look at your NCAA tournament bracket. You know, I know that's the next segment, so I got a chance to just laugh a little bit at it. It's kind of funny.
It was a team bracket. One.
Yeah, it was me and Wally.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it even funnier.
But if you were here, then it would.
Doesn't matter. I put mine on our Facebook page, though. Did I not?
Yeah, and it was just as busted as everybody else's.
Who did you have, right?
Villanova.
Yeah, win it all.
And it's
one thing.
Was Michigan in my Final Four?
I have no idea.
Exactly. You say it was just as busted. You tripping?
You text me. You was texting me the same thing. My bracket's done.
Never text you that.
We both said our bracket was messed up. You lying like I don't know what.
I said that.
Yeah, we both.
No,
did.
No. The only messed up thing I had Arizona in the Final Four.
And we both talking about this is like never mind. I know what we're talking. We talked about our busted brackets. I didn't know. You had Nova, good for you.
Shaggy, it wasn't me, but we'll talk about it later. Until then, Navarro Bowman is the discussion right now.
But no, do you think, would he be a good fit? You said you're out of the discussion, right? You're out of the discussion, right?
Okay, would he be a good fit?
Yeah.
Again, low risk, you know, meaning you're not paying him a lot. I would be happy to bring him in as a fan of the game, because when he was healthy, he was the top middle linebacker in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that Patrick Willis was, though, because you play alongside him.
I feel like at his peak, he was a little bit better than Patrick Willis.
I think at his peak, I think it's arguably you could say he was one of the top two inside linebackers.
Top two with Patrick Willis, outside of that?
No, top three with Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, and Luke Kuechly.
True that. I won't argue that. So you already know the pedigree is there for him. He's been removed from that. Was it an Achilles injury he had? Yeah. I want to say it wasn't Achilles. I know it was a leg injury. It was a knee injury. A knee injury. He's like
lower extremity.
Yeah, let's go injury. With that. Let's go with that.
I think that's a safer way to go.
And even his last couple seasons with the Niners, you know, still a productive inside linebacker. Was he as good as he used to be? No, not at all. Age and injuries to play a part. But is he better than some of the starter inside linebackers in the NFL who are in the 3-4? I believe so.
I'll say this, because this was something that was already put out there. Mm. One of the reasons why he left San Francisco, he asked to leave San Francisco, was because he wasn't on the field for all three downs. So I think it's reasonably to assume that wherever he goes, he wants to be a three-down linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
With so many teams playing a nickel, it's fair to ask, if he came here to Washington, would he be on the field for all three downs with them having
good point.
Mason Foster, with them having
Zach Brown?
I think that's a fair question that fans would have to ask, and he would have to ask himself of the organization.
Good point. That's a very good point. Compared to Mason Foster, I think he's a decent. Compared to Mason Foster, he's better than Mason Foster in the past. That's just my opinion in terms of how he can dissect coverages, because we've seen in San Francisco, at least mentally, I feel like Bowman is up there with any inside linebacker. Physically, obviously, you may say that injuries play a part, but I think mentally his game is just as good as any inside linebacker in football.
Really, as a casual fan of the game and as a member of the media, I feel as though this really doesn't matter a whole lot. One thing that I'm excited about for this organization, even though I'm not a fan, I'll say it again, is that they do have some additional draft picks that they could use over the next couple of years. The Sewell Craven deal, I think, was finally something positive from the front office. You don't think so? They obtained some draft picks, and I think you can build upon the draft in the future, which the Redskins haven't done over the course of the last decade or more.
No, I was just going to ask you guys, since you guys are media. No, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at over the past three to 4 months. Over the past 2 months, you had Kendall Fuller gone.
Yeah.
Sua Craven's gone.
Yeah.
And you let Bashaud Breeland walk.
Yeah. He's still a free agent.
Still a free agent.
Yeah, but yeah.
But, you know, if he hadn't signed that, if he hadn't failed his physical, he'd be gone.
Yeah, he'd be gone.
Do you think it's a troubling trend that
Trent
you're
Murphy
seeing?
Too. Name Trent
and
Murphy,
and
too.
And Trent Murphy, that you're seeing so many younger players who were drafted, you're letting them walk, you aren't developing the young talent, but you're still bringing in older vets.
They haven't really brought in that many older vets. Like, Paul Richardson, not an older vet. I will say this much.
Let me strike off that last part. Okay. The trend of letting guys letting them walk.
No, I've always, I'm to that point. Like, that, I think that's a little disappointing because it's like you're valuing other players rather than people that you groom, right? They brought in Scandridge, right? You could just use that money to get Breland. You're right. So even what's his face? The guy from Baltimore that they just signed plays a outside linebacker. But he was from Chicago last year. McPhee. All right, so McPhee. That's a good example where you could have signed Junior Gallette, a guy that you pretty much signed. He's not your own product, but he's a guy that you signed when no one wanted him. Why not keep him? He felt more of a Redskin than, McPhee. You know what I mean? So these, to me, why not value your own? These are guys that have been in the trenches with you. Have you helped bring
because
back?
Because you haven't had enough success.
But you're bringing in guys who aren't even that successful compared to the guys you're letting go.
It's a crapshoot, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, why not? It's funny. I don't even say this. Why value? We talked about this before. What has Paul Richardson produced compared to, like, Terrell Pryor when he was, like, Terrell Pryor in the grand scheme of things?
Nothing, really.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying.
You got to trust those who are making the decisions that they're looking to put the right pieces or look for the right pieces to fit. Bottom line.
But should you
Terrell
trust
Terrell Pryor wasn't a good fit.
But should you trust those guys?
You're the Redskins fan. That's where you're speaking from.
No, I'm being real.
I'm speaking as a member of the media. Will is speaking as a casual observer.
Actually, I'm speaking as NWO. Both.
I'm an NWO. I'm speaking.
new world order. No, I'm speaking in both. Like as both. Like in terms, like Scott McLuhan was a guy that was brought here to be the GM.
Here we go.
They had issues with Bruce Allen prior to Scott McLuhan, and they have an issue. And then people, I mean, talking about the fan base, even some of the pundits. And they're having issues with Bruce Allen after Scott McLuhan.
When it comes to offense, I'm not really thinking about Bruce Allen. I'm more so looking at what Gruden wants
in his offense.
And I feel like he's a good enough offensive mind, what he's shown. He got Kirk Cousins paid. Really, Kirk Cousins owes that man some money.
And Sean McVay.
And to me, Andy Dalton doesn't look the same without him. So he knows what he's doing on the offensive side of the ball. Whatever he wants to do personnel-wise, you got to trust him.
You could say Andy Dalton has looked the same without Hugh Jackson.
Well, Hugh Jackson had a good year
with them, too.
A caveat to your statement. Has he really produced a top 10 offense since he's been here in D.C.?
Cool. Yeah, he did with
yes,
he did.
Well, he had a lot of good pieces. Deshaun Jackson, healthy Jordan Reed. Yes, he has.
Let me rewind and ask this question. What's been the biggest complaint since he's been here?
Can't run.
Exactly. I think you would need, especially with Alex Smith. We've seen that Alex Smith he's been at his best when he has what?
Running game.
So if Jay Gruden hasn't been able to produce a viable running game, you could potentially run into problems with Alex Smith.
That's one of his weak spots. And
it's always been his weak spot. He had the same issue in Cincinnati, too.
Right.
It's always been a weak spot.
It's been complaints since Alfred Morris was the starting running back that he wasn't being used enough. Mm-hmm. That's something that, from a Bruce Allen standpoint, cause Bruce Allen, I feel like, can change that. Bring in somebody who – the offensive line coach.
I mean, yeah, Bill Callahan.
He was there. They brought him in. But, outside of maybe the first six games of his first year, we haven't seen the fruits of, his resume come into play. So maybe you got to bring somebody else in. You got to make a move. But to me, that's not a Gruden thing. That's more of a, front office issue.
But you mentioned March Madness. Villanova under Jay Wright won their second championship in 3 years. Is Jay Wright building a powerhouse program? Listen to Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I love March.
Play your game. Have some fun.
Now I got to take it to a different level. It's a different level.
The thing that makes you guys special is you never quit.
We deserve to win this game. Make history.
We kind of all wanted to be in the One Shining Moment video.
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Hey, let's get going.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life.
Oh, he's not human.
You're a shooting star. And all the names, no one knows just how hard you work.
Oh, nastiness.
Now it's shining.
It is a March miracle.
Time is short, and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, that moment's gone. And when it's dark, win or lose, you always get your best, 'cause inside you. More than a contest, it's more than a
All season long, and it comes down to this. He's going to launch. He's going to hit. The Nova Nation has another national championship.
Well, should open up opportunities attacking the rim.
Yeah, they got DiVincenzo in for him. And there's an open lane. Brunson sees it. It's a clean block. Whoa, what a block by Matthews.
He's a pretty good defender with size.
Simpson slows down, goes back farther. He's going to launch. He's going to hit.
How about that? Dramatic switching. John Beilein says gives them some trouble. We saw that with Loyola. Nice slip by the big guy.
With two defenders on him. Different story from Saturday.
That little initial triangle look.
DiVincenzo feeling it. Wow. My goodness.
Last 4 minutes. Feeling good. Right now, Bogner's got to get these touches.
Bogner bounces back. On the money for Matthews.
How about that read?
We got 50 seconds to go. Ooh, quickly taking it to the hole and giving it up.
It looked like he blocked that twice. Chinzo not giving up on the play. Just an excellent effort.
Well, when you got
the right hand and the left hand.
You got a good teller. That doesn't happen, you know.
Pretty good when you get both hands on it, you know.
He is an athlete.
He's all the way to midcourt. Now Brunson steps up, fires a three. Oh, my goodness.
Does he love daggers?
DiVincenzo has it and takes off. Bridges.
What a great game. It was a good game. My man Ray over here, man, trying to find some bracket. No, we're not bracket. What you I said something. Anyway, you listen to Urban Sports here, myself, Wally, Will T, Ray. What bracket you referring to though, man? Like seriously. All Philly, everything that I like it? Did I like it though?
My Facebook post says Philly got the juice right now. Eagles won a Super Bowl, Villanova cutting down the Nets. I love March Madness.
Oh, I just read.
It says.
Did I like it?
Of course you liked it.
That probably because you don't post that much. I probably liked to expect it.
Who's that guy?
Some African.
There you go. There you go.
Look, did I read it? Probably no. I probably just looked at the bracket and liked it. I didn't probably read the Philly statement because I don't really care for Philly. To be honest with you, real people say real things.
Listen, it's not about who picked who. The bottom line is...
It is about who picked who, obviously, because you're talking about it.
No, I was laughing at you guys' bracket because that was crazy. But
yeah, our bracket was crazy. It
was jacked up. But look, real people do real things, yeah, man. Sometimes you just got to make them
here's
moves.
Here's the thing.
Though.
When I saw Villanova square off against Georgetown, Big East tournament, I knew right then and there that they were going to be a front runner for the national championship just based on the athletes they had.
Dude, don't ever say Villanova versus Georgetown.
No, here's the thing.
Did you
Georgetown,
see them in regular
Georgetown
season game?
In spite of all the success, they beat them like a MEAC team.
Man.
Right. But in spite of that, uh-huh. in the first round of the Big East tournament, Georgetown played them tough. It was a close game up until, I want to say, about 6 minutes ago in the second
Georgetown
half.
Georgetown lost what's the name of the Big East tournament? They lost to St. John's.
I thought they lost to Villanova.
No, they lost to St. John's early. They got knocked out early.
Yeah. It's probably when you saw them in the regular season. There we go. Second game. Yeah. At Villanova, right?
Oh, yeah. The one at home was worse, though. The one at home was worse.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the one on the road where Georgetown played them tough. My bad. I misspoke. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they played them tough, and it looked like Villanova just turned a switch on. And Georgetown didn't help themselves. But I knew at that time when they played Georgetown for the second time that they were the front runner because of the team – because of the way the team is constructed. You got the son of a journeyman NBA player who, from all indications, was like this bully growing, you know, bully father, you know, almost like Jesus Shuttleworth dad kind of thing. As he's trying to, you know, follow in the shadows of some big names in Chicago. Jabari Parker, Derrick Rose, to name a few. Mm-hmm. What's Okafor? Jahlil Okafor. These big names, you know, coming out of Chicago, highly touted, one and done. He's obviously not a one and done. I wonder if Brunson's coming back next season. But you look at him, how strong of a player he is. In addition to Bridges, Bridges is a top 10 pick, most likely.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew.
That's kind of why
I wanted to see them square off against Arizona in the championship because Arizona has two lottery picks on their team. So you look at.
Listen, I don't know why y'all haven't taken to heart my message. You do not trust Sean Miller come March. It's just that plain simple.
Dude, our bracket is busted. We shouldn't even talk. We shouldn't even talk.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Ray.
But y'all ain't like DiVincenzo? Like, I think now he can make himself some money if he wanted to. Kind of, sort of. He made some money. Final Four
in
MVP?
In terms of what?
A first round pick. I think you gotta go in the short. You think it's first round pick?
No.
You don't think it's a first round pick?
No.
He may have helped.
What?
He may have helped.
Are you sure?
He may have helped to stop. I'm not going to definitively say no because I learned from your mistake. My man Bam.
Go ahead.
Anyway.
It always comes to Bam Bam. Bam Bam, man.
That's because you so definitive. As a matter of fact, that's why you scolded me that I got the whole St. John's thing wrong.
I didn't scold
he's
you.
He's mad because I'm
right. Did I scold you?
No.
I just said you was wrong.
No.
I just said you was wrong.
Nobody can see your face expression. We'll talk. I know the difference between a normal face and that face. But my question to you guys honestly, what did you guys see out of Villanova that had – That contributed to you picking them leaving the tournament so early, getting kicked out?
Oh, I didn't actually, and my bracket.
Well, no.
That's just yours?
I am losing to Purdue, though.
That's both of us.
I had to lose my
But why, though?
So
go ahead. Go, you go
Villanova
first.
Is so dependent upon the three.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I thought if they became matched up against Wichita State, who's a very good defensive team, especially running you off of the three-point line,
mm-hmm.
that's what I thought would be the undoing of Villanova.
Wally, what is one of the biggest keys of winning in the NCAA tournament?
Guard playing hitting threes.
The three-point shot. Yeah. And I don't care, because I remember somebody was telling me, man, Purdue's going to win. They got the big
I'm
guys.
I'm going to tell you that.
It doesn't
that's
even
why,
matter.
But you know why Purdue lost, though?
Because of injury?
Their best big was out.
That's not why they lost.
I'm just telling you. They lost to Texas. Was it Texas A&M or Texas Tech?
Purdue goes on scoring
without
droughts, bruh.
But not when that big is playing. That big is that he stops droughts. Like because all you do is feed it down low, and he gives you two.
But in the tournament, I'm telling you, they had Swanigan last year, and I drank the Kool-Aid. Remember that?
Yeah, shout out to Swanigan. I know. I'm just saying.
And I fell in love with the bigs, and I'm like, you know what? Purdue's going.
I have a legitimate reason why. My big was out for the tournament due to an elbow injury. So,
but
I'm just saying.
What I'm trying to get you guys to acknowledge
I'm just saying,
is Villanova had the best team in the tournament.
No, I will say this. Villanova is the most was the most dominant team in the tournament.
Absolutely.
No, you can't deny
and
that.
And they look like a real number
they look
one
like
seed.
A real number one seed.
Of yesteryear.
Agreed.
But the tournament was great, and it's a good thing that the best team won, in my opinion, because of all the NCAA scandals and distractions we've seen throughout the year that has in some ways tainted college basketball. Also, you know, I hate the one-and-done stuff. I wish we could have seen Lonzo Ball and some others in the tournament this year. Jason Tatum. It would have been great. Duke might have won if they had Tatum this year.
So real quick, do you think that Jay Wright is building a blue blood program in Villanova? It's not blue blood, but it's like that's two championships in 3 years.
Nah, I mean, in order for it to be a blue blood, you got to sustain that over like 15 to 20 years.
He wins every year. He may not win a championship.
Coach K? He's taking the Roy Williams playbook, which is, okay, I'll recruit a guy who I think that come his third year has the potential to be an All-American. Then I'll supplement that with maybe I might get a McDonald's All-American here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But my team will be – they'll be together at least 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At least the major pieces will be there 2 or 3 years.
If Brunson comes back, and in addition to the other major pieces they got, Bridges is gone, I'm pretty sure, then they're going to be right there in contention next year.
Yeah.
And it seems like Duke – is taking the Kentucky playbook and getting all these one and dones, which isn't going to work.
And it's not working for Coach K because that's not his style. Because he likes mature basketball
and
players.
Another thing, which I noticed watching Villanova during their run during the tournament, they don't run sets per se. Like they have a offensive principle, kind of like Golden State. Even though Golden State in the NBA they run sets, the Spurs run sets, but they have like it's more of a set of like. Balancing the floor, spacing,
mm-hmm.
and that backside rotate like that backside rotation of and drive and kick. So
they might have a dynasty on their hands. Maybe not a blue blood just yet.
Yeah,
dynasty got to win two in a row.
There you go. We'll have the discussion
potential,
later.
You
say that all the time. He goes potential that dynasty talk. Anyway, John Wall is back. All the Wizards are a threat to make a run in the playoffs. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Go-
want a piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, with Yoshi, you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks, they carve a tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a show on my I
mean, when you listen to, anyway, you listen to Urban Sports and myself, Wally, Will T. Ray.
Anyway.
I know, right? Anyway. It's a habit, man. I don't know why. Anyway. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us or leave us a comment. On Saturday, in his first game back since January 25th, John Wall had a double-double, 15 points, 14 assists. He led the Wizards to a 107-93 victory over the Charlotte
Playoff
Hornets.
Birth.
Did you see the game? Didn't y'all see that game?
Yes.
So did you see anything different from John Wall?
No, not at all. I can't say that he looked healthier or he looked more explosive.
He looked thinner.
Yeah, he looked a little bit thinner.
Yeah, he did look thinner.
It's just, you know, when you have your best player on your team, he looked far more comfortable leading the team. He put up the most shots, mm-hmm. even though he wasn't the most efficient with it.
Yeah.
With his shot selection and shot making.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good to have the best player back on the floor. The best player on your team back on the floor.
Watching John Wall, it looked like John Wall from last year rather than John Wall who came this season extra motivated. I think he called it Wolf season or something like that to that extent.
Yeah.
He liked John Wall of last year. Because I know we all know John Wall passes the ball. We know John Wall, to me, in my opinion, John Wall does share the ball around. It doesn't always stick in his hands like many people have tried to make him out to be. But what I saw is that Bradley Beal got a lot open, easier shots compared to what he was doing before. Otto Porter had a bunch of easy shots compared to what
Otto
he was trying
Porter
to do.
Ate.
You know what I mean?
And he ate good.
Good. And that's what I'm saying. That's what John Wall brings to the table. Like, he takes away from the over dribbling from other individuals trying to create their own shots because he doesn't have to over dribble to get his own shot. He can set you up because he can get you right in his spot without doing that many dribbles because he's quicker than anybody. He has great vision. And look at Gortat in that game. Gortat was eating. The same dude who was complaining about him, about, you know.
Everybody eats.
Everybody
that,
eats.
That was Bradley Beal, but he's a great team.
In quotations.
My bad.
That same dude, but he was eating when John Wall was on the floor.
Yo, I mean, that was already proven. Bottom line is when John Wall was out, it provided an opportunity for Scott Brooks to develop his guys, especially mm-hmm. like Oubre, even, like I said, Otto Porter. But I think people also, before I move on to my next point, mm-hmm. I think it also just allowed critics to come out. The John Wall critics that already pre-existed before mm-hmm. He was injured, it allowed them to gloat a little bit because the team had success without him. But
and then we started losing the crowd.
Exactly. Bottom line was this team wasn't going to go far without him. I was looking a lot at playoff seeding. Like, man, they get the Sixers in the first round. That might be a problem without John Wall. You know, it's looking like the Cavaliers at this point. We'll see. The point is, you're going to feel much more confident, even against Cleveland, with John Wall in the lineup. Because Cleveland's not even the same. They're younger. They're more athletic, yes. But they're not experienced when it comes to playoffs yet. So we'll see how that young team responds. And I would like to see a first-round matchup against Cleveland. Or really Philly. If you get Philly in the first round, I think you can advance. And you build some chemistry going into the second round to make up for the time that John Wall missed.
I will say this about Philly. The reason why I'm on the side of saying they can play Philly. You know, I think Philly's like super talented. I think I like what they have on their team, and especially now you got Markel back, and looks like he's getting his confidence little by little. But when you look at Philly, usually like when you look at teams in the postseason, you know, teams who just got into the postseason as a young team, usually that first round matchup they tend to struggle. they tend to lose or be eliminated in the first round. It's like, you know, trials and tribulations. You got to kind of walk before, you got to crawl before you walk. So I think the Wizards, because the Wizards have some, have playoff experience. They do have playoff experience, and they've done well in the playoffs, in the first round or whatever, and been very competitive. That makes them tough. That makes them tough for a Philadelphia 76ers team.
There's always exceptions to the rule.
That's true. I agree.
If you look
true.
At Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons is freaking fearless.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. And he don't even fear LeBron. That's really – they really wanted the Cavaliers first round. But they won so much, and they got just easy schedule here at the end of the year that they don't need – they don't even – They won't even have an opportunity to see LeBron right away.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it reminds me of D-Wade, his first year in the playoffs.
Anyway. And, see, it's the same thing.
Well, but not coming in front of him. Not coming in front of break. Anyway.
I got you.
Anyway, like I said, remember a young D-Wade, first season, he facing a veteran Charlotte Hornets group led by Baron Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
They won.
Them baby Miami Heat boys, they got at him. Now, the second round, mm-hmm. they were shell-shocked, and they lost 4-1.
Yeah.
But That's the type of Sixers team this is. They don't fear anybody, and they got so much shooting now. Bellinelli is looking like one of the
he's a good shooter.
The best Princeton offense shooters in the league.
But I will
that
say,
looks like a Princeton offense to me, don't it? I mean,
they do kind of the way they run.
Redick and Bellinelli and Sarge. I mean, the way they just when they on, they on.
But on the thing about that is that Ben Simmons in the 7-game series, as great as he is, not having a jump shot, that can you're gonna get to know everything everybody does in the 7-game series, and not having a J. could be a problem.
Definitely could be a
problem. It could be a problem.
But when you have...
I disagree with that.
No, I mean, but definitely when you have J.J. Redick, you have Bellinelli, you have Sarge, you have some shooters. They have some shooters. They have some guys who can... And Embiid can step out if he's healthy.
No, he can shoot.
If he's healthy for the first round.
He'll wear a mask. He'll be fine. It's going to frustrate him, obviously, and that's going to potentially mess with his conditioning based on the fact that he had to miss some games. So that could be one of the contributing factors to them losing in the first round. But actually, Indiana looks like they might be a good matchup
like a problem too.
For the Sixers with home court advantage. Going Philly's way, though, I think, Philly's actually the 4 seed. So they would have home court.
So how far do you think the Wizards can go with the healthy John Wall?
Are you really going to ask that question?
Yeah.
They go in the same place they go every year.
Oh, second round and out?
Maybe the second round. But if they play Cleveland the first round, they're probably going out the first round.
But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to see Cleveland go down? That way you know somebody different's coming out of the East.
I already told you, Cleveland is not making it out of the East this year.
All right.
Well, I would love to see Boston, personally.
On Facebook, my man JB Raj, on Twitter, said first or second round, Green and Will T. My man Joe Cardozo has Eastern Conference Finals.
Smoking that good.
Why not the Eastern Conference Finals, man? Why not?
But
it's John Wall, man.
Would you have tanked to get the AFC so you can face Toronto?
I would have. No, real talk. I would have. I kind of would have.
Because Toronto,
you can't believe on Kyle Lowry. Excuse me.
I don't trust Kyle Lowry.
Nope. Lowry.
Have you seen Van Fleet play?
I know all about Van Fleet from Wichita State. I know all he's good, but Kyle Lowry has to step up. Sorry, no. Can't do it. Can't trust him. Won't do it.
He's like 5'11", though,
dude,
bro. I'm sorry. When the playoffs come around, like Wally just said, the deficiencies come out, and I think his size might be a deficiency. Sorry.
This is a deeper team. Man, that plays a different style.
I don't trust Powell. I don't trust Lowry. You know what though?
DeRozan I trust though, because he shows out.
Here's the thing though. They look like they're playing really good team basketball, and they're gonna be tough. They're gonna be a tough out. But again, just based on their history, I think the Wizards will feel confident going against them in the first round matchup. Versus now, you got them playing the Bucks possibly again, and they eliminated the Bucks 4-2 last year after the Bucks took a 2-0 lead. Bucks without Greg Monroe, a little less experience. You got what's John Wall's boy point guard name again? I don't know why I'm losing my mind right now.
Eric Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe, who doesn't have playoff experience. He's great. I mean, he's a really good player, but playoff experience matters.
It does matter.
Bryce gone.
Hit a home run?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Bryce just hit a home run. We're going to talk about the Nats after the break. Nats are 4-0 right now. Trailing the Atlanta Braves 5-8. Only in the third inning. So we'll discuss that at the break. Listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Call it how it is. Hendrix. I promise I'm
swag.
Young Metro, I don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot you.
Yo, Percocet, Miley Percocet, Percocet, Miley Percocet, Percocet, represent, gotta represent, gang, gang, chase a chick, chase, never chase him, I'm chasing no mask on.
You are listening to
Brown Sugar.
You listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Will T. Myself, Wally, Will T. and Ray. I can't stand this dude. All right, man. Under new manager, Dave Martinez, the Nationals are 4-0. What are your thoughts of this fast
it's a long
start?
Long season, man. It doesn't matter. They'll go on a 4-game losing streak at some point.
Why so negative?
It's not negative. It's just being real. This is bullcrap.
They were not going to
fall. We're talking about this. This is coming from an Orioles fan.
Yeah, that's true. We're getting
waxed. Who hates
waxed.
But it's early.
No, I don't hate the Nationals. Stop doing that.
You hate the Nats. You hate on the Nats.
I don't hate on the Nats. Stop it.
Yeah, you do.
Look, Bryce Harper is probably one of the top five baseball players in
all of MLB?
Yeah. Period. I love Ryan Zimmerman. I think Ryan Zimmerman was one of the well played.
What?
I don't know. I
you can't
because
you can't put together your lies. Don't like the Nats.
I do like Ryan Zimmerman. I do like Ryan Zimmerman.
I wish
like
dude from NatsGM.com was
I
here.
I do
you know,
like
Ryan.
Exactly.
I do like Ryan Zimmerman on one today. That's what I'm talking about. I like Ryan Zimmerman. That's my dude. I like them more as a third baseman.
Well, no. I think if you look at the way that
I like the Nets. Go Will Taylor.
They're constructed to win, but we know their history. Bottom line, you can't get excited too early.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's true. But I think you should have a higher level of optimism just because of what you see Dave Martinez. No. I'm not saying they're going to the World Series or anything.
You believe they're going to the World Series.
No, I'm not.
You don't believe they're going to the World Series?
Uncle Tom. It's
158 more games. Anything can happen.
Look, all right, sorry. Let me phrase it this way.
Optimism should be high. Why?
Look.
No, optimism should be high because for these reasons. Dave, the way Dave Martinez.
You're negative, right?
One, the way Dave Martinez is managing the bench. Everybody is far more active in these first four games with, you know, Brian Goodwin playing more than him using Wilmer Defoe. And then whenever they get Daniel Murphy, Kendrick's going back to the bench. So he's shown a willingness to alternate and use his bench players. Two, he's taking a more analytical approach to setting a lineup with not just having, you know, with doing the easy thing with having Trey Turner and Adam Eaton hitting 1 and 2, you know, he's gone about putting Trey Turner down further down in the lineup. So it's almost you're getting two different lineups.
Thank you, George. I appreciate that. George
on
Twitter, man.
Be ganging up on Wally.
Thank you, man. Real talk.
George, listen. Wally makes the topics, and there's an ulterior motive behind this, dude. Up until Will, how long have we heard about the Dodgers going to the World Series?
Absolutely.
And how the Nationals didn't make it up until.
Check the second line.
Up until what?
Oh, yeah, no.
A couple weeks ago? Come on, man. I just don't trust this guy.
You should trust me, man. I'm trustworthy.
Baseball is one of those.
And not because I'm not Jerry.
It's one of those up and down, long, long seasons. Period. To be honest, can we be happy
about
the pitching? I'm talking about going forward, long term. Now, Tanner Roark didn't get his start. He was sitting on the bench healthy at the end of last postseason. Dusty didn't use him because he went with his aces. Can you trust Tanner in the postseason? If Dave Martinez
in the postseason
is going to pitch, I mean, if he's going to coach different, if he's going to manage his lineups different, can we trust the entire pitching staff?
I think
going into the postseason.
I don't even think the pitcher staff, how it's constructed now, is going to be what you see towards the end. I mean, in the postseason, I think they'll make a move to get another arm in the starter rotation. Mm-hmm. I think it may be it's either to take away from
Sheesh. This is crazy.
No, it's either to take away from what's the fifth star we just mentioned. I'm sorry,
AJ Cole.
Yeah, AJ Cole
starting tonight.
Yeah, AJ Cole, and having moving Roark so he could be the fifth starter. But it's going to be a guy of quality, because don't forget they really did go hard against Jake Arrieta, so obviously not happy with their pitching staff. They do want an extra arm to kind of make sure they're stacked for the postseason, because you have teams like again the Dodgers.
Well, one thing you forget,
even the Mets the Mets pitching staff.
I don't know if he'll be healthy enough to come back. But if Joe Ross is actually healthy enough to come back.
I think the Phillies are going to be better this year too. To be honest,
I don't think the division is going to be stronger.
I think the Mets are going to be better.
I think the Mets are going to be really good this year.
The Mets were decent last year.
No, they were bad last year due to injury. They were bad last year.
But if you look at the division from top to bottom, the Nationals should win it.
Should win the division. I just think it'll be more competitive than it was last year. Like last year, they didn't have to do anything. Last year, they were 10 times coasted, better than everybody.
Coasted. Yeah, I think weren't they up like 13 games towards the tail end of August?
They basically had it over at the All-Star break. This season, they should be pushed a little harder. They're still the best team in the NL East. Probably still, to me, the best. Arguably the best team in the National League, arguably. And to me, in terms of what they bring offensively and within their pitching staff. You know what gets me about the Nationals, too?
The Mets finished third.
They were horrible last year.
I mean, the whole division was bad, but they weren't.
What amazes me about Nats, not Nats fans, not you guys, but it's like the hatred for Gio Gonzalez. Like, they act like Gio Gonzalez is trash. Gio Gonzalez had bad postseasons, I agree. But if you look at the regular season since he's been in baseball with the A's and in the Nationals, he's always been a really good starter.
So what are you saying?
It's like everybody wants to get rid of Gio. Like, and he's your third starter. Your third starter isn't, it's not always going to be like the Atlanta Braves. Like, you're not going to always have like three aces. Now, if you have two aces, which the Nationals do have, and Strasburg and Scherzer, that's great. Gio Gonzalez is a great three man.
How many hits did he give up the other day? Like five hits?
Yeah, only gave up one run.
He gave up one run. And I think four hits, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, five hits.
And no hit, and he has a no hitter in his resume.
The regular season for this fan base doesn't matter, sir.
Obviously, so, but you have games where some of the stars that you love have had bad postseason games.
Everybody
was Strauss.
That's true, Ray. Like you said, it's not about the regular season. For the Capitals,
it's not.
Like, you don't hear any buzz, any anticipation for the Capitals this year.
Nope.
But in the next week or two, people are going to start to pay attention.
It's going
to
be lit.
DMV. Would you agree? This is DMV. Thank you. So the Capitals, the Wizards, and the Nets consistently make the playoffs.
Fans want more now.
If the Redskins per se were to make the playoffs,
everybody's telling the truth.
You'll be satisfied. Yes, we made the playoffs. Great season.
You're right.
Successful. Let's build upon. But with these teams who now make the playoffs consistently.
I don't like the way he said it, though. That's all.
What? That's true. There you go. Speaking from a fan again. I'm coming from a different perspective.
A media member perspective.
That's right.
Say, George on Twitter said, I agree with you. I guess me, because, I tend to be right at times. I agree with you. I think a trade for a starter is definitely possible in July, but they might need another bullpen arm to help Doolittle, Kinsler, and Madsen in the postseason.
I think that's good analysis. George is very objective. He agreed with something Wilty said, too.
He does, man.
Sean Miller.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's very objective. I'm down with George all day. So don't try to pit somebody against him. George, would you agree that the expectations for the other professional sports teams is different from one of the Washington Redskins?
George, you have to answer that question.
Yes, you do.
I know my truth. Even
DC United.
I know
only
my
the Mystics and the Redskins. I think it's time for a break.
I don't like the way you're talking. I think it's time for a break. You're like annoying me right now. Time for a break. Anthony Joshua took one step closer to being the undisputed heavyweight champ. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying.
The ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare. Beat to the rest.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Anthony Joshua defeated Joseph Parker over the weekend, taking Parker's WBO heavyweight title. Opinions of the fight?
It was a boxing match, not a fight.
You know what I mean. I think I'm messing with you, man.
No, I think I'm just, you know, a lot of people came in with the expectation they thought that Anthony Joshua was going to put him away pretty easy, but Parker was also an undefeated fighter, just Anthony Joshua. And Parker, he fought at a style.
He did a lot of moves.
Yeah, he
head movement and everything.
He got land enough. That's all it was.
Yeah, and we also don't know. He said he was healthy, but we don't know the extent that those two elbow surgeries.
Oh, Parker.
Yeah, and his ability to jab, like he wanted to. But it was a fight that was, for the most part, not a lot of action. Anthony Joshua fought a smart fight.
Yeah, he did.
He fought a
safe fight.
A safe and intelligent fight. Mm-hmm. A fight that he should have fought. Opposed to coming in and everyone wants to see him in the style that he had against Klitschko, which, you know, you can't do that every fight. So he did what he needed to do. He got the win. He got out of there with the win. And then he finally called out Deontay Wilder.
And Tyson Fury.
I mean, who really cares about Tyson
Fury? Everybody. You know what? Tyson Fury has been very active in terms of who he's calling out.
Tyson Fury hasn't been active in the ring.
I know, but he thinks he's something special, and you'd be surprised. Even a lot of people, like in terms of boxing circles, they actually think Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight in the game right now. And he hasn't been active. I totally agree with you, Will T. I totally agree with you, but you'd be surprised how many people think that Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight in boxing. But what I saw out of the fight was that I thought Anthony Joshua did a good job using his jab. Keeping Parker away. I was very impressed with Parker's head movement and movement for a heavyweight. Was very impressed. I thought Joshua did play did fight smart. I actually had it. It's crazy because a lot of people thought the scorecards were like jacked up. I actually had it like pretty much. I think I had it like 117-111. I didn't think that it wasn't a travesty in terms of the score. In terms of scorecard, did you have an issue with the referee?
I got a lot of issues with the referee. I was going to say, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, well, overall, including the referee, did you guys enjoy the fight?
To be honest with you, after probably the third or fourth round, I started also doing something else. I watched the fight, but I was also doing something else.
To me, that's the problem. I feel like, I mean, we want to see the Wilder fight.
Yeah.
That will help the heavyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
But the welterweight division is carrying boxing right now.
Okay, and yeah. In 2 years.
If Keith Thurman can come back, Errol Spence, I don't care if you can fight Sean Porter again. It don't matter. These are fights that we want to see. I don't think, unless it's Deontay Wilder, you mentioned Tyson Fury, we want to see Anthony Joshua fight again?
There's only one fight that needs to be made in the heavyweight division. That's Wilder versus Joshua. Yeah. Will we get it next?
London.
Yeah, in London.
It's going to happen. Wembley.
Wilder's already said that he will go to.
Yeah. Beautiful.
He'll go. He said what he would prefer is a 1-1 where he would go overseas and then Joshua would come over here and either Las Vegas
and part
or New
two,
York.
Right?
Yeah, most likely to probably be New York for the second fight. So, I mean, it's doable. You know, both fighters claim to want it, so it's doable. They have a management team. You know, let's get this fight for. I would like to see this fight possibly November, maybe December, but.
Also, did this fight help boxing fans in terms of the letdown that is Canelo and Triple G no longer
such a blower?
You know,
now
taking place.
To be real with you, that opens a slot though. Like it does open a slot to have that fight on that day.
What?
Like they can have it, a pay per view fight have on that day, not in Vegas though. On that day, try to have on May 5th. Like what's the May? Would that fight be on May 5th?
On May 5th?
Why not? Why not have Wilder in?
That's too soon.
That's way too soon.
I'm sorry. I'm geeking. I'm sorry.
That's
you're right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No,
I apologize.
That fight.
Way too soon. I apologize.
You'll see Triple G versus Canelo in September in Mexican Independence Day. You'll see it in September. I'm pretty sure.
Why am I thinking I'm in December? You know I'm gassed
out. To me, boxing made a mistake with that.
What?
We're canceling the fight because
Canelo canceled the fight. They were supposed to have a hearing,
but he
next
they
week.
It was all but done though.
Yeah, well, there's a possibility he would have been suspended, or they may have had to push the fight back a little bit.
George tweeted us. George tweeted us about the fight. Said Parker didn't take enough chances to win the fight. He didn't want to end up getting KO'd by Joshua and achieve that goal. Like he didn't want to get KO'd by Joshua. And he achieved his goal.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like to you all?
Yeah, I mean, neither fighter seemed like they wanted to. Now, granted, Anthony Joshua had a lot more to lose than Parker, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But he was undefeated, too, like you said.
Yeah, but also, he was undefeated, too. Joshua didn't seem like he wanted to fully engage and wanted to have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to have a boxing match, which is fine, because that's what the sport is hit and don't get hit.
Yeah.
But for entertainment purposes, and if you're trying to attract the audience and create a hype about about a potential fight with Deontay Wilder, it would have been preferable for you to go out with a performance that was comparable to Wilder's last performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because not even a boxing purist could appreciate that fight, in my opinion, from an entertainment perspective.
That's hard to say because, you know, have boxing purists love Mayweather and he's not trying to get hit.
That's different.
I'm just saying. In terms of if a guy is not overly aggressive.
I think the level of expectation from heavyweight fighters is different from fighters in lesser weight classes, because you want when you think about heavyweight fighters, you think of action pack, you think of big KOs, you think of big punches. Like I said, Anthony Joshua didn't seem like as if he wanted to engage on that level because he had far more to lose, and he didn't go out and put on a presentation or put on a showing that was comparable to Deontay Wilder, which would have left fight fans salivating for Wilder versus Joshua.
Good answer. I totally agree with you. See, Ray, I can admit no wrong. I totally agree with you. Good job, Will T.
Thank you.
But until Will T actually framed it the way he did, you were going to argue with
me. I was. I was ready to go.
Not all boxing purists love Andre Ward's style either.
That's true.
Andre Ward did not get the Mayweather recession. But you got to think back. Criticized too.
But Mayweather knows how to. He parlayed that off the he's a personality though. He's a personality too. Andre Ward is
personality, the lifestyle.
Exactly.
It creates a certain aura when it comes to fighting.
Exactly.
that the regular fan wants to buy into. Whereas Andre Ward
is a good guy.
Is a great guy, but he doesn't have the personality that makes people want to gravitate and come towards and watch his fights, especially when you couple that with his style.
Yo, the boxing discussion can go on because it's a lot of fighters right now that, you know, try to emulate. Adrian Broner comes to mind. And
exactly. He's not good enough.
But I don't like Thurman's style, to be honest.
You don't like Thurman's style?
I love Sean Porter, though. I just think he's a G. Like, you know you're going to get a fight when Sean Porter
gets
in the ring.
He's in the box. He's in the box.
He's fun to watch when he loses, too.
He's in the box. He's ready to go.
He's like McGregor. You know what I'm saying?
He's like old school, like go to the body, like in high school or something like that. Like, he's ready to go. Hey, it's about time to wrap this show up, man. It's a pleasure, you know, doing this sports show with you all. Thank you for coming out. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have all three of us here. Exactly.
Then Will T always goes on Ray when he's not here.
I'm not going on Ray.
When he's not here. That's
we rolled together today. That's why I was friendly fire. You couldn't have a bad experience. We got to ride back home.
Anyway, you were listening to Urban Sports Say. You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. To the swag.